I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Ukraine, the breadbasket of Russia once upon a time, but now it's an independent state ever since the end of the Soviet Union. And you will recall the revolution several years ago when Ukraine sought to break free of the overwhelming presence of Moscow, of the Kremlin. That didn't go very well these last years. There's a mixture of peoples in the country that look east to Moscow or look west to Berlin and Western Europe. Robert Cutler is here to explain how this country of two worlds is at the center of a conversation about pipeline politics. Russia's a superpower with energy. Europe needs Russia's energy, and in between is Ukraine. Robert is a senior research fellow, Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies at Carleton University in Canada. And Robert, a very good evening to you. I have a photograph that you've sent me of a news event earlier in March, Russian President Vladimir Putin sitting with Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych before the cameras. And both men were asked a very uncomfortable question soon after. Would Ukraine join customs union with Russia, or would it continue on its course with the European Union, with Berlin and Paris? I don't ask you for an answer. I ask you how this choice very much challenges Ukraine and how it challenges its pipeline politics. Good evening to you.
Hello, John. It's good to be with you again. Well, you're absolutely right that Ukraine is in a way of two worlds. It has the eastern part of the country, which is heavily industrialized, a lot of coal, and very Russia-oriented, and western Ukraine, some of which the westernmost part of Ukraine actually was not part of Ukraine until after the Second World War, and it was part of Central Europe geographically or geopolitically. And the attitudes and orientations of political ideas have been passed down from the generations and are very much different and Western-oriented from what you find in the eastern part of the country.
And so the pipelines, we will recall that there was a moment when Russia played tough with the pipelines through Ukraine, and Ukraine was in a position of facing a cutoff from natural gas. It depends on a great deal of natural gas for its energy, but also Western Europe was facing a cutoff if it didn't go along with Russia's plans for Ukraine. Right now, I understand from the news reporting that Ukraine can't be both a member of the European Union and a member of the customs union. Let's just focus on pipeline politics, on energy. What is Ukraine's most fetching alternative? To go with Moscow and the super energy, or to go with Europe and the European Union?
Well, it's between a rock and a hard place. I think all of your listeners have an idea what the European Union is. It should be explained maybe that the Eurasian Customs Union is the latest incarnation of a plan that the Russian leadership and Putin have had for quite some time to bring back together at least some of the former Soviet republics into a customs union to increase trade, to increase industrial integration, and so on. They've already got Kazakhstan and Belarus in there, and they are trying to get Ukraine, they're trying to get Turkmenistan and a couple of others. The nub of it is that if Ukraine goes into the Eurasian Customs Union, then there is absolutely no way that it can satisfy the requirements, the legal requirements that the European Union has for deepening their economic relations with Ukraine, between Ukraine and the European Union.
Pipeline politics. The Europeans have been looking a way around Ukraine or a way around Russia. There's a north pipeline and a south pipeline. Is Ukraine a solution for the European Union that they can't do without, or can they watch it go to Moscow and still maintain those supply lines from Russia?
Well, the Germans have been helping it go to Moscow for about the last 10 years, 8 to 10 years. Ukraine, it's very interesting that a long-term goal of Russian policy has been to get some kind of influence or control or even proprietorship over the Ukrainian pipeline system, which, as you said, in 2006 and 2009, there were actually cutoffs of the gas that went to Western Europe through Ukraine. Well, now you have the Nord Stream pipeline, which goes under the Baltic Sea to Germany. And the Russians are trying to, have been trying to talk up for years and want to construct the so-called South Stream, which would go under the Black Sea to southeastern Europe. Now, if you got the Nord Stream, you got the South Stream, these would be both of them rather large pipelines, then you don't need the Ukraine pipeline system anymore. And Germany wouldn't need it, and Russia wouldn't need it, and Ukraine would be a basket case in its own way.
So Ukraine is in a position where it wants Europe, the European Union, and Russia to use the transportation through Ukraine. I understand it needs upgrade, though. Who's going to invest in a pipeline that could go away if they pass it by north and south?
Well, that's the other problem. About 3 years ago, after the last gas cutoff in 2009, there was a lot of diplomatic talk at very high levels in the EU, in Ukraine, and in Russia about there being a kind of a three-sided plan to modernize the pipeline network. The Ukrainians were very much, the Ukrainian government in place, which is run by the same guy now as it was then, was very much in favor of that. And there were a few pilot projects that were funded from the European side to do that, to make it more efficient, to make it more transparent, so we know where the gas is going all the time, and to make it more efficient and therefore also less expensive to transit. Well, it turns out that to modernize the whole network, it's estimated conservatively that it would take maybe $15 billion. And that kind of money isn't kicking around in Europe these days. And if it is kicking around, they probably would rather spend it in Europe than in Ukraine, even though the German industrialists would actually get a good chunk of it, because they are the ones who would turn out the pipes and everything that Ukraine needs. But the Europeans have taken a very odd view of things. Russia is saying, well, yes, the pipelines belong to Ukraine, but we could have a partnership, and we could a joint partnership, and then this joint partnership between Ukraine and Russia could rent the passage through the pipelines to Gazprom or something like that. And the EU is taking a very overly legalistic point of view. They're saying to Ukraine, they're saying, oh, well, we don't have any money to ante up yet, but please keep us informed of what your requirements are. It's your pipeline, the Europeans are saying, so it's not for us to make offers to you. It's your pipeline, so you come to us with offers and tell us whatever else is going on.
Robert, one interpretation of these variables that you've presented here is that Russia is very much in control of this argument. South Stream favors Russia. It even cuts out Turkey, I read. Nord Stream is not negative to Russia because it does get the gas and natural gas and oil into Europe, where they're customers. And so Ukraine pretty much has to bend a knee to Russia. Is that a fair conclusion of where we are now?
To be even more precise, it's the case that the German leadership, and not excluding the earlier Merkel executive, remember in 2008, she at the NATO summit had a declaration that was rather to the disadvantage of Georgia a few months later, and rather to the advantage of Russia. She and her predecessor have, not to put too fine a point on it, aided and abetted and pushed Ukraine away from the EU by actions which are economically to the benefit of the German industrialists, because it's metallurgy, process technology, it's very, very high quality stuff, and it's two large landed countries, Germany and Russia, with, although Ukraine's not a small country, it's a less powerful country in between. And this is a long-standing old diplomatic pattern. There's a good German between Russland and Deutschland. It's between Russia and Germany, these countries. And Ukraine has always been in this situation, and it's not the only country that's always been in this situation.
Robert Cutler, a senior research fellow, Institute of European, Russian, Eurasian Studies, Carleton University in Canada. It looks like the long romance of Ukraine and independence is coming to a close. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.